CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. As Americans reflect on the legacy of former President Jimmy Carter after his death yesterday, presidential historian and ABC News contributor Mark Updegrove.
He was so down to earth, so accessible, somebody you could talk to very easily, despite the fact that he was our 39th president, somebody you could really engage with.
The state funeral for the late President Carter is January 9th at National Cathedral in Washington. South Korean officials plan to conduct safety inspections of all Boeing 737-800 aircraft operated by the country's airlines. This as they investigate Sunday's explosive crash at an airport in southern South Korea that killed 179 people. President Biden announcing an additional $2.5 billion in U.S. military aid to Ukraine with special authority to get weapons to Ukraine faster. At least four people killed after a rare winter outbreak of tornadoes and straight-line winds ripped across seven states, knocking out power, tearing up homes. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding anglers across the state that the early catch-and-release season for inland trout will open this weekend. According to a press release, the season will run from January 4th through May 2nd, during which anglers can only use artificial lures and must immediately release any trout they catch. Anglers will be allowed to keep those trout beginning on May 3rd. Anyone planning to participate in the catch-and-release season will need a valid fishing license and an inland trout stamp. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that the 2024 open water muskie fishing season is nearly over. According to a press release, the season will close statewide on Tuesday, and after that, muskie cannot be targeted through the ice at any time. The muskie season will reopen in 2025 on May 3rd in the southern zone and May 24th in the northern zone. Anglers looking to take advantage of the season's final days should check the DNR's fishing regulations and quality water page for nearby opportunities. The Washburn County Board has approved the scheduled use of part of the County Wellness Center for government entities and community groups. The County Board unanimously approved a resolution to allow government and community organizations to reserve the building's office space for short-term use. Wellness Center residents had expressed concerns about the space being used by a corporate entity long-term, but the County Board assured them that they would revisit the resolution if any group took advantage of the scheduling process. Two teenagers have been arrested after the Barron County Sheriff's Department received multiple calls about mailboxes being destroyed and burned. According to a press release, the Sheriff's Department received six calls about the mailboxes on Thursday afternoon. Authorities quickly identified a suspect vehicle near Shell Lake and allegedly found items that had been taken from the mailboxes. A 17-year-old was taken to the Barron County Jail on arson charges, and a 15-year-old was referred to Barron County Health and Human Services. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers lose to the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Vikings jumped out to an early lead again against Green Bay and held on to win this time 27-25 over the Packers. Former Packer Aaron Jones says, from Justin Jefferson to tight end TJ Hawkinson, the Vikings have depth.
We have weapons, and I think that's what was scary. We got so many playmakers, so guys understand that, and they make the most of their opportunities.
The Packers plagued with penalties, illegal formation, offsides on a field goal, even 12 men on the field. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, that was on us as coaches. Called the personnel, somebody heard it different, and that's how we got 12 in the huddle. That's the first time that's happened in a really long time. You know, those are drive-stopping penalties.
And the NFL has announced that the Packers' final regular season game is Sunday at noon when they host the Bears. NBA, the Bucks lost to the Bulls over the weekend. Tomorrow, they play the Pacers in Indiana for an early New Year's Eve game. Tip-off time is 2 p.m. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with areas of dense fog still lingering and high temperatures reaching the mid-30s, which will slide below freezing tonight to the low 20s. More patchy fog is possible, and tomorrow we stay cloudy with a few flurries, highs in the mid-20s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Right now, it's 30.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, what does former FBI and CIA Director William Webster have to say about Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Also, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K, on the rise of homelessness and political exhaustion. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbar.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbar, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is now 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program here on Monday, December 30th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Back in after a couple of days off, I'll look back at what makes Wisconsin great, those tours with Trygve Olsen, Jane Matt Nair. Also, we played a little bit of that with our Amory. That was a great interview up there with Jane and Amy up there in Amory.
April Zimmer.
Thank you very much. Yeah, absolutely. And so that was a lot of fun. Thank you for all your work putting that together, Mr. Zommers. Appreciate that. Glad to be with you today. Live show again tomorrow. Luke Mathers will be in for a Tuesday tangent with Lukester. On Wednesday, my very own sister, Heather Allbar-Galloy, will be joining me on the program for New Year's Day. We'll talk a little bit about the Rose Bowl. We're big fans of that. We've been to the parade, been to the game a couple of times. And we'll also preview all the games going on, big bowl championship series games. I guess they'll call it bowl. Now it's the college football playoffs games on New Year's Day. And then back with live shows on Thursday and Friday. So that's the big, Peter Rapine will be in on Friday with a hysterical look at the weekend review. Also, I don't know about you, Zommers. I'm enjoying the holidays, but I'm always feel a little bloated. And I came in today and our very own Luke Mathers did all kinds of baking and he brought in these delicious, like chocolate chunk. I don't know what they call. I call them delicious. It's great here. Sorry to eat in the air, but that's really good.
I'll have to go grab one later.
They're really good. And he's requiring us now to eat X number of cookies a day because they made so many over the holidays.
We'll see. We'll see.
Did you have some holiday baked goods as well?
Definitely. Yeah. Cookies for sure. Mostly cookies.
Yeah. It's a great time of year. My mom made the traditional Bohemian Christmas bread, which was absolutely fantastic. She did all kinds of cookies herself. So I had some eggnog. It was a good time to have by all. So it was in Michelin Center. I was up in Shawnee over the weekend, seeing my dad's stepmom up there. So the family got together, and it was just, I had the chicken. My stepmother makes great chicken wings. So it was eating my way through the week, quite frankly.
Weren't we all?
Coming up this hour, what's worse, your chance to phone in and be a part of the pressing questions of the day. And yes, we're going to get into talking a little bit about politics over the weekend. Mega World has stirred things up, not amongst themselves this time. The leaders of the MAGA folks have decided to go after each other. And what they've decided to go after each other on is interesting. We'll explain here in a little bit. But first of all, a tough week. This last week, as we said, lost former President Jimmy Carter at 100, former State Senator Dale, former State Senator, Tim Cullen, my God.
You're about to get a phone call from Dale.
Right. Dale's, I talked to him this morning. He's very much alive. Former State Senate Majority Leader Tim Cullen, who passed away at 80. Former State Senator George Petak, Republican, who passed away, I believe, at 78. And then there were some celebrities that passed away as well.
Early to rise, early to bed. And in between, I cooked and cleaned and went out of my head. Going through life with blinders on, it's tough to see. I had to get up, get out from under and look for me. There's a new girl in town.
That is the incomparable Linda Lavin, not only an actress, but she sang this theme song to her own show. Linda Lavin, longtime TV and Tony-winning stage actress, best known for her Emmy-nominated role as that title character on the sitcom Alice, has passed away. According to her publicist, she was 87 years old. Linda Lavin died yesterday from complications of recently discovered lung cancer, according to her rep. She had been promoting her new Netflix series, No Good Deed, and was shooting an upcoming Hulu comedy series called Mid-Century Modern when she got the diagnosis. Lavin's career began on Broadway as a child actor in the 60s and was nominated for her first Tony in 1970. She would go on to 6 nominations, winning in 1986 for Broadway Bound. Always with a foot in the door, both TV and stage, Lavin took a recurring role on the ABC cop shop sitcom Barney Miller in 1975, which landed her the role of the titular truck stop waitress in the 1976 sitcom Alice. The series ran for 9 seasons on CBS. You're too young to watch it. Have you ever seen reruns like on Nick at Night or anything like that?
Not of that show, no.
It was a family staple of ours. Was very relatable because towards the end of the show, my parents got divorced. I think the whole single mom and kid thing was relatable. But it was also one of the great characters was Flo, the sassy waitress from the South. And her tagline was, kiss my grits. So, you know, somebody would say something, she'd say, kiss my grits, when she was really ticked off. And then you had the dinghy, the guy who owned the diner was Mel Sharples. And then you had Vera. And Mel would call her the dingbat because she was just a spacey, kind of flighty person. And hilarity ensued. People would come into the cafe, and it was well written and a lot of fun. You can still see it on various places on TV. So Linda Lavin has passed away, and she has left us at age 87.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Greg Gumbel. Welcome to the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship Selection Show. Just a short while ago, the selection committee finished up this year's tournament brackets. 32 teams received an automatic bid, 36 await an at-large.
That is the incomparable Greg Gumbel as he opened up each and every Selection Sunday show for the NCAA tournament on CBS. He also had a great career in the NFL, calling games for CBS as well. Greg Gumbel passed away over this last weekend as well, the age of 78, according to his family, of cancer. This one came as a bit of a surprise. We hadn't heard from him. He, for those who are big basketball fans, for the first time in over 20 years, he did not host that show that you just heard, Selection Sunday show, had someone else sit in, and they said, well, he was dealing with family medical issues, but that was it. And look, I mean, to each their own, right? But apparently Greg Gumbel was one of those people that really liked to keep things to himself. So he did not share his diagnosis with a lot of people. And now it has come out that he told his closest friends and associates, look, we're going to try these treatments and it's either going to work or it didn't. And of course, it obviously did not. And he succumbed to the cancer over the weekend, 78 years old. And I found one of the best tributes over the weekend to Greg Gumbel from his colleague, Seth Davis on CBS, and just so well written. I want to share a little bit of this with you. He says, quote, Greg Gumbel did not care for parades. I'm not sure why. Maybe it was something about the artifice of it all, the way people get together and cheered for all those silly things that were strolling by. Mostly, I think it was an affection, a touchstone of humor for Greg to come off as curmudgeonly, when everyone knew he was actually the sweetest man alive. Greg also didn't like golf. He tried it a couple of times, hated it, gave it up, and spent the rest of his life mocking the game and those who enjoyed it. This was a constant source of amusement because Clark Kellogg and I golf almost as much, or love golf almost as much as we love college basketball. When we wax poetic on the CBS set about our prospective games or the courses we played, Greg would always sit back in his chair and roll his eyes. He would make us chuckle with the overly grave tones he used when reading a promo on CBS's golf coverage. If a highlight came on showing a player about to strike a putt, Greg would crack, "Bet it goes in." And of course it did. Then stepping away from the article a little bit by Seth Davis, he talks about the fact that he was a consummate professional, that he treated everybody on the set with respect, from the set crew, the camera people, and that he really only got riled one time, because when we watch these things, to people who might not understand media, when you're watching college basketball, especially the first round, and games are starting and ending each different times, well, the guys in New York, they're doing all these cut-ins and sometimes within seconds of each other. And people are talking in your ear and you got things in front of you. Well, apparently Gumbel had called and said, you know, now we're going to take you to Gonzaga and Michigan or whatever the game was. And the producers took the audience to somewhere else. And Gumbel just kind of threw his pen up in the air and was not happy because it made him look like an idiot. And one of the camera people, who is Gumbel's best, one of his best friends on the set, said, you know, made a smart ass comment to him and made him actually start laughing again. But that's pretty much as mad as Greg Gumbel ever got. And Davis goes on just to talk about what a great friend he was, how they got together, he and Clark Kellogg and Greg Gumbel, every selection show, and would talk and have a dinner every year. And how much he was involved in his kids' life, that Davis would take his kids into the set from the time they were little. And Gumbel always had time for them. And look, I have the fortune of knowing a couple of people in higher echelons of media who are extraordinarily nice. And I think that when you have somebody like Greg Gumbel, I mean, I never saw him make a mistake on the air, whether it was calling. He was the first black commentator or play-by-play person to ever call a Super Bowl, by the way. First person of color to ever call a Super Bowl. Was a historical figure. Was at ESPN for a while before he went to CBS. Called play-by-play games, hosted the NFL on CBS. Then, of course, was the studio host for many years of men's basketball, the NCAA. It will not be the Final Four like it has been without Greg Gumbel. It just won't. But to know from the people that worked with him the closest that he was also a man of character, a man of humility, and a man of compassion just fills my heart. Davis ends this by saying, "I've known for a while that this day will probably be coming, but now that it's here, I can hardly believe it. Greg leaves behind a legacy that is virtually unparalleled in the sports broadcast business. He worked in multiple places, the highest level, calling Super Bowls and Final Fours and countless games in between. If you watched him on TV and thought, he seems like a great guy, I'm here to tell you that you're right. You can't be in front of the camera for that many hours over that many years and hide who you really are. And even if you could, Greg would have never tried." Here's Greg Gumbel's sign-off at one of those Final Fours.
And so tonight, after years of sustained excellence, Connecticut coach Jim Calhoun and his spirited Huskies finally got the shot they deserved, and they made the most of it. Our congratulations also to Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski and his Blue Devils, who throughout the season represented the gold standard in college basketball. With two national titles and five trips to the Final Four, Duke can still lay claim to the title as the team of the 90s. This mad march of 64 teams and 63
Greg Gumbel
games has
was 78 years old. May he rest in peace. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the Recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This one goes out to Dale Schultz.
I woke up still not dead again today. The internet said I had passed away.
Or Todd.
If I died, I wasn't dead to stay.
Yes, yes, that's probably a good thing to make clear. A Freudian, not Freudian, but slipping. Unfortunately, we've lost a lot of people last week, and I meant to say former Senator Tim Cullen, who did pass away at the age of 80 last week, and I started to say my former boss. So, yes.
Only because they worked so closely together.
Yes, yes, they had a very close friendship, and Senator Cullen will certainly be missed. Welcome back to the show. 21 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Talking also about Linda Lavin, TV's Alice, passing away. And this brings up from Dave in New Berlin. We should do a whole show or a segment, we will sometime, on old TV shows. And asks, does Todd have a favorite roommate on Three's Company? Great show. Favorite roommate. Boy, that's tough. I'm tough between Jack and Chrissy. Chrissy was entertaining and just being an airhead and maybe laugh a lot with her lines. But I think just the slapstick comedy of Jack and some of the looks and some of the facial expression. He was kind of the 1970s, early 80s Jim Carrey, John Ritter was. And I think just the great acting expanse that was John Ritter as Jack on Three's Company. So I'll go with Jack. You ever seen that show, Zomers?
I have not.
You have not. No. Great show. Great show to dial up. All right, 22 past the hour of 1 o'clock time once again. For what's worse, let's go.
Then, of course, the choice is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Time once again for what's worse. No prize money involved. Simply your chance to have your voices heard across the statewide Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. By the way, somebody was it? Who was it? Andrew in Maine asking my sister's going to be on the show on Wednesday. Heather, he says, the greatest production assister, not assistant. See how he did that? A sister and favorite all-ball sibling. Will she be live in person? Kind of, sort of. Because we're taping the whole thing today, actually.
So the answer is neither?
But kind of sort of both. Anyway, yeah, Heather will be here talking about the Rose Bowl and whatever else we want to talk about. Maybe we'll just drink on January 1st. My mother's having a heart attack. Would you quit talking about that? She's very concerned about my liver. There's nothing wrong with it. What you have to understand is I talk about it a lot. I talk about drinking a lot more than I actually do.
Because it's funny.
Because it's kind of like Dean Martin. You know how he used to have a cigarette and drink and he act drunk? I don't act drunk, I don't think, on the show. But he really didn't drink that much. It was a bit. It was a thing. That's all it is. But anyway, yeah. All right. Here we go now. What's worse? And this is timely. Timely indeed, as Mike Lucas likes to say. Losing your phone or losing your keys. What's worse, losing your phone or losing your keys? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. What's worse, losing your phone or losing your keys? Text us in and let us know, or call in as well. Cindy listening in Appleton on the phone line. Cindy, thanks for calling in. What's worse, losing your phone or losing your keys?
Well, I just lost my keys at the grocery store the other day, locked myself out. So,
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm losing my keys. I mean, I just had been at one of the dollar stores like 5 blocks from my house. If I would have did it there, I could have walked home. But no, I'm like 5 miles away from home now. So, yeah.
So what did you do?
I just called a friend, and she came and got me, and then took me home and got my keys, went back and opened my, because I have a spare at home. But, the whole point is, duh.
I know it's I've done both, and I don't know why. I guess I've lost my keys at home. Here's an embarrassing story I'll tell myself. This was years ago. I couldn't find my keys. I need to go to work in the morning, and I looked everywhere, and finally I just, in fact, I had to call in and say I was gonna be late. I couldn't find my keys, and I didn't know where my spare ones were. So I did what they said to do, like literally started writing out what I did the night before. And it turned out I'd gotten groceries, and I put my keys in the freezer when I put food away in the freezer. Gosh. My keys were in the freezer. My car, my truck keys. You ever done that, Cindy? Cindy, she's like, I'm out of here. If you're that goofy, I'm out of here. Are you still there, Cindy?
Hello.
Yeah. So, have you ever locked your you put your keys in like a place like the freezer, like I did?
Well, actually, I dropped them one time in a tote. Like I keep a couple of totes upstairs stuff in, and I dropped it in the tote. And I'm like, I know they're in my house somewhere, but I did the same thing you did. I kind of backtracked and found my tote, keys in my tote. But yeah, stuff like that just drives, because you've got them somewhere. It's just like your brain's in a different place, and you don't make that connection, and it drives me crazy when I do stuff like that.
Yep. I appreciate it. Thanks, Cindy, for the call. Happy New Year to you. Appreciate you calling in. What's worse, losing your phone or losing your keys? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Tom in Jackson, listening on WXCO, says keys. Losing your keys are worse. Troy, our friend Troy Mount Horebs, listening on WMDX in Madison, says the phone. Keys are easier to replace. Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. WXCO, Tom and Jackson, Airhead. I'm not sure what that means, but okay. I'm the Airhead for me for locking my truck keys, or putting my truck keys in my freezer. Llama, listening on WMDX in Madison, says the worst is when you lose your keys and find them in your pocket.
Or like my mom would lose her glasses all the time, and we'd be like, Mom, they're on your forehead.
I will tell the story of myself. I didn't look that long, but I have said, where the H are my keys? And they were in my hand.
I used to have a habit of locking my keys in my car.
Really?
And then as Cindy said, having your phone so you can then call somebody to help you either break into your own car or drive you home to get the spare keys, it has been very useful. So for me, losing your phone is worse because then you can't contact anybody to help you.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that. Heather Watcher on Facebook says our house has had to invest in the electronic tiles. So both phones and keys can be located. FYI, I have not lost either. Oh, Heather says she has not lost either. Now, see, that's with the iPhones, at least, you have the,
find my phone.
Find my phone thing. So that makes it a little bit easier. I've used it with my AirPods or whatever the heck you call them. I know. But, well, give us a call. We'll keep taking phone calls on that. Take a little talk about news as well. Losing your phone or losing your keys? What's worse? 855-752-4842. Come on back. Talk about politics in Washington and how it relates to Saved by the Bell? Screech? Yes, Screech is in the news. Come on back.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A state appeals court upheld a lower court ruling to award the group American Oversight with over $240,000 in legal fees relating to open records lawsuits against Michael Gableman. The lawsuits involved Gableman's legislature-supported investigation into allegations of fraud in the 2020 election and accusations that his office broke open records laws by not turning over the requested documents quickly. The appeals court also overturned a lower court ruling holding Gableman's office in contempt. A coalition of environmental and citizen groups are calling on state lawmakers to invest nearly $1 billion in clean water infrastructure in the next two-year budget. Over 30 groups signed on to the letter calling for a $953 million investment for infrastructure improvements, the release of $125 million for PFAS cleanup, and for policy changes to protect access to safe drinking water. The letter referenced water systems with high levels of PFAS contamination and lead service lines that need to be replaced. An arrest warrant has been issued for a Rice Lake man accused of a seventh offense operating while intoxicated after allegedly failing to make a court appearance. According to court documents, 52-year-old Nathan Pettit was facing up to 12.5 years in prison and a fine of up to $25,000 if convicted on the OWI charges. He was scheduled to appear in court on Thursday. Pettit was arrested on December 17th after a preliminary breath test allegedly showed his blood alcohol content to be roughly three times the legal limit. The Douglas County Department of Health and Human Services is notifying residents of a data breach allegedly involving a former employee. According to Department of Health officials, the former employee is accused of accessing patient records without authorization over the course of 21 months between August 2022 and May 2024. Officials are working to determine how many people were affected, but have already sent over 300 notification letters. The Wisconsin State Patrol and Superior Police Department assisted with the investigation. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Batman fans eagerly awaiting the second installment of the new franchise will have to tap the brakes. Variety reports that the Matt Reeves-directed Batman 2 has been delayed a year and will now hit theaters in 2027. The film was originally slated for an IMAX release that would hit theaters October 2nd of 2026. Warner Brothers has announced that taking those screens will be a new Tom Cruise film that they are hoping to get on the big screen to qualify for the 2026 Oscar season. Here's one of Pete's picks. The Order, starring Jude Law as an FBI agent tracking a white supremacist group, is a really solid watch. Based on a true story from the 1980s, Law tracks the gang as they rob banks and set bombs off, terrorizing the Pacific Northwest. The film has good action and is a great detective story. The Order also stars Nicholas Holt as the leader of the criminal group, Ty Sheridan as a local sheriff's deputy, and Journey Smollett as an FBI agent. The film has been a hit with critics and audiences alike. Strongly recommend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today with areas of dense fog still lingering and high temperatures reaching the mid-30s, which will slide below freezing tonight to the low 20s. More patchy fog is possible, and tomorrow we stay cloudy with a few flurries, highs in the mid-20s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 30.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we run through some of our favorite This Shouldn't Be a Things. Also, we talk the wonderful world of weddings coming up. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
When I wake up in the morning and the lawn gets out of warning, I don't think
Welcome back to the Tom Wall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Monday, December 30th. Zommer's on the board dialing up a little theme song from Saved by the Bell. Again, Zommer's probably slightly too young.
I've seen a little bit, but not much.
I was older when kind of more my sister's generation, but I did watch a lot of episodes of Saved by the Bell. Big show. And it figures in, just bear with us, hold on. It figures into this more serious news story that popped over the weekend. And this is very interesting to me, by the way. So I could explain it all, quite frankly, but I heard no more succinct and better example of putting together what all this is about than CNN's own Caitlin Collins over the weekend. Essentially, internal civil war, I guess what other kind of civil war would there be, but internal civil war has broken out against MAGA between Elon Musk and kind of the quote-unquote Trump base. And so you got Elon and it's kind of like Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble. You got Elon and Vivek Ramaswamy. And they're taking on the rest of the MAGA Trump world over immigration and visas. So here now, a serious breakdown from Caitlin Collins on CNN. But listen to what Ramaswamy is talking about. We're going to come back and talk about it. Here's Caitlin Collins.
Tonight, as President-elect Donald Trump is preparing for a widespread immigration crackdown when he takes office 25 days from now, we're seeing a crack between some of his top advisors and his MAGA base. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are both facing major blowback from their own supporters for not only backing, but encouraging offering more visas to highly skilled foreign workers. Over the Christmas holiday, Musk posted this online, saying, "Think of this like a pro sports team. If you want your team to win the championship, you need to recruit top talent wherever they may be." He later added, "I'm referring to bringing in, via legal immigration, the top 0.1% of engineering talent as being essential for America to keep winning." He's talking about H-1B visas, which allow employers to hire highly skilled foreign workers. Musk, who himself is from South Africa, said that he once had this kind of visa, and he's arguing that Silicon Valley is facing a shortage of excellent engineering talent, as he put it. But the annual cap on those kinds of visas right now is at $65,000, with another $20,000 for those who get a master's or a doctorate in the U.S. Musk is being backed up by his partner in Trump's government efficiency initiative, Vivek Ramaswamy.
All right, Let's stop right there, please. We'll pick up one in a second, Zommers. So this is the serious part of the conversation. All right. So Elon Musk is saying, all that rhetoric about mass deportations and not letting anybody else in, that was really nice during the campaign. But you know what? We really do need to bring in some talented folks from outside the country because, you know what? We don't have enough engineers. And that's a whole nother bottle of wine, New Year's wine, we could get into, particularly here in Wisconsin, where there's a wait list at the University of Wisconsin-Madison for engineering. I just hung out with my godson and his two buddies out in Seattle, both graduates of the University of Wisconsin-Madison Mechanical Engineering Program, now proudly working for our United States military, God bless him, out there in Bremerton, suburb of Seattle. And we're putzing around here in Wisconsin on, by the way, both Republicans and Democrats, on not getting this University of Wisconsin engineering school built, but we have a lack of engineers in this country. And so Musk is saying, you know what? We do need to let some people in, as it turns out, just the ones that we want. And the loyal Trumpists are like, wait, that don't add up. So that's a legitimate conversation to have. Here's what Barney Rubble, Vivek Ramaswamy, weighs in on his part of it.
Ramaswamy, he says it's a cultural issue that there aren't more competitive engineers in the U.S. Here's what he said online. A culture that celebrates the prom queen over the math Olympiad champ or the jock over the valedictorian will not produce the best engineers. A culture that venerates Corey from Boy Meets World or Zach and Slater over Screech and Saved by the Bell or Stefan over Steve Urkel and Family Matters will not produce the best engineers. But that argument is not going over well with Trump's MAGA base, certainly not online. Some of them saying, we did not ask them to engineer an immigration policy. Tech wants indentured servants, not high-skilled workers. You don't even know what MAGA immigration policy is. Now, Trump himself, who I should note restricted H-1B visas in his first term, has said on the campaign trail this time around that he did want to make it easier for educated foreigners to work in the U.S.
All right, well, let's stop there. We could talk about what Trump actually said a little bit later, if we get to that today. But I want to go back to Barney Rubble, Vivek Ramaswamy, talking about in a country that what do you say, celebrates the prom queen over the math Olympiad champion, the jock over the valedictorian, and here's where it took a weird turn. Zach and Slater over Screech and Stefan over Steve Urkel in Family Matters. Well, let's play that theme again, Zomber. There we go. So here's my point. This is fantastic. It takes Vivek Ramaswamy to come up with a bit. Why? Ramaswamy must have watched a lot of 90s television, number one, or early 2000s, whatever it was. If those that don't know, Saved by the Bell, a former sitcom, and Zach and Slater were kind of the cool kids of the TV show, and Screech was like the nerd. But do you really want to say that, Vivek? Because here's how it turned out. Now, Zach, he was kind of the jock of the, or one of the cool jocks of the show. Some people would say it was a little snarky, but he was played by Mark Paul Gosselaar, who has a very respectable career in television and film. He's still working, by the way, in film. He had a new movie come out last year called The Portrait. And on television, he's also in the main cast. He plays Hugh Sir Evans on a show called Found. He was also on a show called Will Trent on Barry. So, I mean, he's done a lot of work. He's been nominated for several awards. So, I mean, he's had a respectable career, Mark Paul Gosselaar, and that's the guy that played Zach on Saved by the Bell. Now, you want to talk about Mario Lopez, who played Slater, who was like a wrestler, easy on the eyes, I'll say that, and he's aged very, very well. Now, there's no more, I mean, I guess there are people more successful, but Mario Lopez has like 2-3 radio shows. He's on TV hosting like an Entertainment Tonight program, whatever that's called. The guy is everywhere. Very, very successful, Mario Lopez. Still working, still very successful. And he played Slater. So that's Zach and Slater. Now, Screech was kind of the annoying nerd guy on the show. He played, he's had this really high voice like that. Like his voice on Screech or whatever. Now this, and look, I take no pleasure in people's trials and tribulations. I mean, I wouldn't want to give my troubles to a monkey on the rock, as David Letterman says. But here's a guy who got into a lot of trouble. He was into drugs and things like that. In 2006, Diamond directed, and because I guess the guy was, he couldn't get any other work, so he directed and released his own celebrity sex tape. Now, I don't know anything about sex tapes, but if you're going to have a sex tape, don't you want it, like, leaked? Don't you want it, like, oh, you know, somebody found it? And shouldn't it be good? But Dustin Diamond, who played Screech, did his own sex tape and released it, called Screeched, Saved by the Smell. I'm not making this up.
Oh, my God.
I'm not making this up. All right? And so he said that, and it did not go well, as you might think. Well, it did not go well. And then he went into professional wrestling for a while. And then the poor guy was bankrupt, and he died of cancer in 2021 at the age of only 44. That's Dustin Diamond. That's Screech. So if you're Vivek Ramaswamy, do you really want to be saying why are we holding up Zach and Slater versus Screech? What's your thought on this? Who should we be looking up to? Zach and Slater or Screech? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842.
Apparently.
Or you can text us. And by the way, I didn't come up. This is Vivek Ramaswamy. It ain't me.
Apparently, he also formed an alternative metal band called Salty the Pocket Knife. And he played bass and wrote music. And he also appeared as a host at the 12th annual gathering of the Juggalos.
The Juggalos? What are the Juggalos? I've never heard of the Juggalos.
Oh, boy. This is a whole rabbit hole.
We don't want to go into it.
Clown people.
Clown. Oh. Oh,
I'll just put it that way.
855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Who should we be looking up to more? Zach and Slater or Screech? Mark Paul Gosselaar and Mario Lopez or Dustin Diamond? Because Ramaswamy thinks it should be Screech. He also apparently not a fan of Stefan. On Family Matters. I just think it's hilarious. All right, maybe not hilarious. I think it's entertaining. The fact that these are the people that are now going to run our government in a matter of weeks. 855-752-4842. Jack in Merrimack. Jack, thanks for calling in. What do you think of this very important, as I say it tongue-in-cheek, debate brought on by MAGA and Vivek Ramaswamy?
Well, these are the continuing insanity of the MAGA. The problem is that it's going to take us into 2025 and beyond. But without going there, let me simply say this. This is the same group of people that screams and yells, we got to be drilling more on American soil and producing American oil for Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they want to hire people from all over the world instead of putting a little bit of money into the universities so that, for example, all qualifying students could have a university education.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a few of those would actually become engineers, and maybe we wouldn't have to go outside of the country.
Yeah.
I mean, this is craziness.
Great point.
End of my thread.
No, I always appreciate it, Jack. And I agree that we need to put more money into our STEM education programs, both K-12 and also at the university. We need to be creating and graduating more STEM people. STEM meaning things like math and science.
Science, technology, math, and...
Thank you. I thank you for saving me, Jack. But you're absolutely right. And we don't have enough. But, of course, that's going to take time to gin it up, so to speak. And in the meantime, I was somebody who handled immigration for a congressman at one point in my life. I'm very familiar with H-1B visas. And they're very necessary for certain parts of our economy until we can graduate more people in engineering programs here in this country. And so that doesn't happen very often, but I'm going to say on this very narrow issue, I agree with Rob, or with Elon Musk on this. But the problem is that the Trump folks and Trump himself has promised one thing and now he's got to do another. And it's going to create this fight. And it's kind of, like eating popcorn. But I appreciate the call, Jack. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. Bronwyn in listening on WMDX says, Screech. Where to go here?
Screech wasn't very smart, really. The girls were the intelligent ones.
Yes.
And you are spot on.
Yes. We're talking about Saved by the Bell. The girls on that show, Saved by the Bell, they were the intelligent ones.
Yes.
Absolutely. Cindy in Appleton, listening in. Cindy, what say you? What do you think about this thing?
I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about your last caller. He talked about how we don't have the engineering schools built ready to go. We're having, I don't know how many two-year campuses that are closing soon.
Yes.
Why can't they just retrofit those two-year campuses and get engineering students started with their first 2 years of school at those?
Well, that's a great question.
Ready buildings, yeah, there's buildings that are ready to go. All they need are instructors, I guess. So.
Yeah, I think that's it's a longer, complex answer from have more time for, but tough to have engineering programs 60 miles from the main campus. But your point is well taken. People should address this, and I wish more politicians on both sides would do that. Come on back, wrap up the show after this on the Civic Media Radio.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Facing an energy crisis, high inflation, and rising unemployment, President Jimmy Carter addressed the nation in his Crisis of Confidence speech on July 15, 1979.
The erosion of our confidence in the future is threatening to destroy the social and the political fabric of America. The confidence that we have always had as a people is not simply some romantic dream or a proverb in a dusty book that we read just on the 4th of July. It is the idea which founded our nation and has guided our development as a people. Confidence in the future has supported everything else, public institutions and private enterprise, our own families and the very Constitution of the United States. Confidence has defined our course and has served as a link between generations. We've always believed in something called progress. We've always had a faith that the days of our children would be better than our own. Our people are losing that faith, not only in government itself, but in the ability as citizens to serve as the ultimate rulers and shapers of our democracy.
We've linked the full speech at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations across the state of Wisconsin you are listening to. A sports update with Mike Clemens. Did you watch the Packers yesterday, Zombers?
I did not.
I listened. I listened on the radio, driving back from Shawano. Great call, as always, by Wayne Larrabee and The Rock on the Packer Radio Network. You can hear that, of course, on WRCL Richland Center, up in Park Falls as well, and down at WRJN in Racine and Kenosha. And was listening on the radio, and Packers tried to make it back, tried to get it done, but came up 2 points short. And Mike Clemens was there and filed great sports reports as always. Packers now only have won one game, I think 1-5 against teams in the division. Have one more chance against the Chicago Bears at home before they get into the playoffs. And look, I mean, they're going to have to put this together because they're going to be on the road throughout the playoffs. And they've got to figure out a way to win one of these on the road. I know there are injuries, particularly on defense. But Packers got to somehow try to get it together before the Bears come to Lambeau Field this weekend. Look, I know we're making a little bit of fun of this, but I'm trying to be a little bit lighthearted about some of this heavier news about this debate on immigration, that now there's internal civil war within the MAGA community. But I want to end this on somewhat of a serious note today. I have a friend named Jane. No, not Jane Matinair. A different Jane. I have more than one Jane in my life. Although, Jane Matinair is lovely. But I have a different friend named Jane. She's now in her 70s, grew up in an area of Wisconsin with fruit orchards. And every year, Mexican immigrants and migrants, workers arrived in numbers at harvest season. Her parents wanted to protect their little girl and told her the migrants were dirty and dangerous and to be feared. My friend went to college. She spent a career as a school counselor. Knows all about prejudice, bigotry, discrimination, scapegoating, fear, and suspicion. And yet, she says to this day, when she sees a person with brown skin, she has a visceral reaction, suspicion, and fear. She understands intellectually about the prejudices planted in her as a child, yet she has trouble turning it off, to forget it, to unlearn it. Her education and work experience enabled an understanding of the dynamics that happened in our mind. Plus, her travels over the years to other countries erased her fears of others based merely on things like income or skin color. But many of us are not so fortunate. This past week on Christmas Day was the 100th anniversary of the birth of Rod Serling. Serling wrote screenplays and produced television shows, including his best-known series, The Twilight Zone. The Twilight Zone episodes released from 1959 to 1964 are still available on streaming services. Serling began as a writer for radio, and he was there at the start of television. The Cold War was real. Fear of communists and atom bombs gripped America. Rod Serling's stories are still relevant, even prescient, because they speak truth about the human condition. In season one of The Twilight Zone, an episode titled The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street has two protagonists. When aliens arrived in the neighborhood, both characters believed that they were doing the right thing. One is thoughtful, looks for facts, and seeks to calm his neighbors. The other plays into fears. He divides his neighbors into us and them, and eventually incites them. Aliens did not raise a finger against the residents in this Twilight Zone episode, but fear and prejudice became monstrous weapons. The end of each Twilight episode has a concluding narrative. And here is what Rod Serling said at the end of this episode entitled The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. Quote, "The tools of conquest do not necessarily come with bombs and explosions and fallout. There are weapons that are simply thoughts, attitudes, prejudices, to be found only in the minds of men. For the record, prejudices can kill and suspicion can destroy. And a thoughtless, frightened search for a scapegoat has a fallout all its own, for the children and the children yet to be unborn. And the pity of it is that these things cannot be confined to the Twilight Zone." Unquote. The words of Rod Serling, great writer, Christmas Day being the 100th anniversary of the birth of Rod Serling. Too often we talk about media and television, things that tear us apart or are kind of just don't do any good. That's why I always say great writing, right? Great writing in shows like The Twilight Zone have a meaning if we take time to sit and listen to them and really think about it. What's going on in Washington today, what's about to go on as we move into 2025, have your antenna up, all right? Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good. Thought that was an important way to end the show today in light of the news as we move into 2025. Great show today. Thank you to Matt Flynn for being here. Dahmer's always doing a great job. Your phone calls as well. Be back tomorrow with Luke Mathers, a little Tuesday tangent with Luke, and then a special New Year's Day show on January 1st. My own sister, Heather's going to be here as well. Todd Alba, I'll say whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan into the studio. Then Chicago comedians Bill Gorgo and Jim McHugh join the show to promote a New Year's Eve extravaganza in Port Washington. Let's light it up.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Funeral plans being set for former President Jimmy Carter. The state funeral is January 9th at National Cathedral in Washington. It will also be a national day of mourning. Update on the deadly explosive South Korean jetliner crash in South Korea, ABC's Britt Clenick.
They're looking at the black boxes, although they were partially damaged. We do know that it could take weeks before we get any kind of result on that. There will be some time, and it is an agonizing wait for the relatives. A lot of frustration over what exactly went wrong, and they will be demanding answers very soon.
179 people killed. The World Health Organization is marking 5 years since the first notice of cases of viral pneumonia in Wuhan, China. It became COVID-19. The WHO continues to call on China to share data and access so health and medical experts can understand how COVID started. These 5 years, over 1.2 million Americans died from it. This is ABC News.
I'm James